Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Steve Jordahl. Steve?
Hey!
Good morning slash good afternoon
good
to you.
Good morning slash good afternoon slash good evening.
And we say
somewhere
that.
Somewhere in the world.
Somewhere, because we do have listeners in the Eastern time zone.
That's right.
Also from Kansas City, Kansas, Dr. Ray Pritchard is with us. Ray, talk a little bit about keepbelieving.com, this wonderful ministry that, how many years have you had?
18 years.
Yeah. Keep believing.
Yeah. Well, look, let me tell you, we've posted something new since yesterday. If you come to the website, keepbelieving.com, there's audio of a message I gave last summer up at Forest Springs Conference Center in northern Wisconsin. It's called, Can You Give Me Some Good News? Can you give me some good news? And I begin by talking about something that happened right here on Today's Issues a couple of years ago when Tim Wildman, our leader,
yeah,
and, you know, head of the party, asked on the radio one day. I think Chris Woodward was there and Fred Jackson. And it was pretty a morbid day. One of those days then, yeah, where it was
a lot of bad news.
A lot of bad news. And finally, Tim just broke in unplanned, as usually happens. Can you give me some good news? And from that story, some good news from the story of the wheat and tares that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 13. So that's on the front page of the Keep Believing website. It's free. You can download it. It's audio. You can listen to it. And I think, you know, Ed, we're still living in days when good news seems to be in short supply.
Yeah.
So if you're in need of some good news, surf on over to keepbelieving.com and click on Can You Give Me Some Good News? And I hope it encourages you.
I think I'm going to listen to that on the way home today. I'm in good spirits. It's not that I need a syringe full of good news necessarily, but I'm always in the market for good news. But, folks, I do want to tell you that Dr. Ray Pritchard is one of my favorite preachers and teachers. So if that carries any weight with you, And it may not. It may work against Ray. I don't know. But check out Keep Believing, keepbelieving.com. And then also remember that he has an entire year's worth of reading through the Bible, both video and audio, that you can avail yourself of and be blessed by and continue on and read and or listen to with others, thousands now, right, Ray?
Around the world. And by the way, folks, if you're not on the internet feed for Today's Issues, it would be worth hopping on the streaming feed to see Steve Jordahl's shirt.
There you go,
Steve. You when that. I grow up, I want a shirt. I want a shirt like that. It's beyond all description. It's beautiful.
Thank you. The bad news is you can't wear this if you grow up. So
well, that's okay. That's the other part of the problem.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Steve, we've stalled long enough. Bring us some of that bad news.
Actually, I got good news.
You do.
The good news is we don't live in Australia.
Ah, all right. I believe you.
Yeah. So Matt Walsh, I've been listening to his podcast. He's having a war with Australia right now.
Really?
Yes, he is, because they had a program, a TV program on that was called. It was something where they sent regular people out into the wilderness to fend for themselves.
And the wilderness in Australia is right. Dangerous.
Well, it started here and everything, and they get people
like
who,
a survivor.
Yeah, like a survivor thing. Yeah. Well, in Australia, they did the same program, but they made sure that they had a trans person,
oh my goodness,
a gay person who know nothing. Who, you know, didn't last 24 hours. But anyway, this is another thing that I'm sure we're going to hear from Matt Walsh on his war, because Australia now has a new government position. The Prime Minister there, Jacinta Allen, has asked a government agent, a government person there, to be now the new Secretary for Men's Behavioral Change.
Oh, my goodness.
His name is Tim Richardson, first parliamentary secretary for men's behavioral behavioral change, a new role aimed at reducing violence against women, which I guess
we're all, listen, I don't know any men. I don't know a single man.
You're not a man.
Who would be opposed to, who are in favor of violence against
women. You're not a man if you're in favor or commit violence against women.
Okay,
but,
so.
But really?
So is that what that's your explanation for the story? So we can begin to question you? Or is there more to that?
No. This is, you can question me anytime. You don't have to wait.
I guess what I'm saying is,
Tim never waits.
This is a cabinet level position.
Yes.
That is where the secretary of it, whatever they call the head of these cabinet positions in Australia, to correct men's behavior?
Yep. Men's behavioral change. So I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot of.
Ray, how long have you been married?
50 years in August.
50 years. Well, wow. Great. My wife and I'll be 43 in June. Okay, so how much has the behavioral change process worked for you? Just in terms of being married.
Let me say this.
I'm hanging you out to dry, rather.
I have been a lifelong project. And I am still very much a work in progress.
You think a cabinet-level position in this country would have had any impact on you?
You know, you just kind of wonder, what are they thinking down there in Australia? A cabinet, look, it's kind of crazy. What's that guy going to do for men's behavioral change? That sounds like something out of Orwell's 1984,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a scary kind of title. You start here, but boy, you could see how that could move in some really bad directions fast. That's weird. Okay. Can I just say,
yeah,
that's my professional opinion. That's very weird.
Steve, here's the thing. The further a culture, and let's talk about Western civilization just in general.
Yep.
This is a broad brush. I admit that I'm painting with one.
There you go.
Okay. So the further you go from God, the quicker you run out of runway in trying to solve problems that flow from our sinful nature. Okay. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You just run out of ideas. And if you go to the woke side of things, like Australia is far more woke even than the U.S., from what I can tell, from this distance. Admittedly, it's quite a bit of distance. But when you're dealing with fallen human nature and you do not want to preach Christ crucified and you do not want the cross to be applied to that fallen human nature, you're going to run out of options. And this demonstrates that you go into foolhardiness, foolhardy mode, like they are in Australia. And my view from, again, thousands of miles away has always been that Australian men are men's men.
That's the thing that Matt was saying, too.
Yeah.
He always thought, I mean, they're descended from prisoners, for goodness sake.
Right. But these are tough hombres. But listen, I think they treat their Sheilas just right.
Just right.
What do you think about trying to impose?
That was very good.
Yeah,
that wasn't
bad.
Good.
If I stick with it too long, I'll wind up sounding like a Russian. That's the way all my accents go. It seems pretty foolhardy to me, Steve. What do you think if you're going to try to have a cabinet position to change men on that kind of basic level?
All right. I want to make a difference between the change that Ray and you and me and all of us who try to become godly husbands make and the change that they're talking about here. Marriage is meant to make us more Christ-like. It,
right.
It helps
husbands
us.
Husbands and wives.
Yeah. So I also am trying to do my best to change daily to be more a better husband to my wife. But the cabinet position of a secretary for men's behavioral change, I like it. I like it because we will have months and months, if not years, of stuff to talk about on this show now.
Yes.
As we start seeing what exactly they're going to do. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on Australia.
Yeah, I
and,
will.
And bring in
Believe me, the
foolishness of the week from Australia.
Yeah.
All right.
How long has President Biden been padding his resume and maybe not being completely honest with the American people?
Four. I don't know. How long? Well, it seems like a long time.
Yeah.
Forever.
It's forever. It's just about. So I want you to hear something. I don't have to tell you exactly what date this is because just the voice here will tell you that it's been a while. But I want you to hear Cut 8 without any other introduction. Cut 8.
Now, on the political scene, one of the Democratic candidates is Senator Joseph Biden. Have you seen the problem he's been having? He went around and made a speech. And apparently, he quoted a British politician, took his speech and kind of paraphrased it as his own. And then the press got on him. And then he was charged also with taking part of Bobby Kennedy's speeches. And Biden says, not to worry. He reassured his staff. He said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
For those That's of Johnny you Carson. Under 50, it was Johnny Carson in 1987.
1987. Oh, okay. So his reference to Bobby Kennedy was obviously after Senator Kennedy had been assassinated. He had taken some of his old political speeches.
He was accused of plagiarism back
that,
then.
That is a funny joke. Johnny Carson was Johnny the master Carson. Of late-night television, and that is funny. He had nothing to fear but fear itself. So Winston Churchill was also victimized by Joe Biden.
Yes. All right, let's do some...
Or was that FDR?
FDR.
All right, my bad.
Well, see, I think FDR got it from Winston Churchill, although he didn't tell anybody.
I'm just saying. All right.
All right. Let's talk about some law enforcement stuff. So, Denver, Colorado, has been among the top cities that has actually embraced the defund the police movement, and they have taken millions of dollars from their police department recently. So that they can deal with the rush of illegal immigrants that are coming to Denver and living there. So it's gotten to the point where Denver does not think that they can adequately answer all the 911 calls that are coming in. I mean, there's not more 911 calls than normal, but there's a lot less police resources than normal. So they have decided they are going to start releasing drones. Call 911. Get a drone, come to your house. And they say, primarily, at least at the beginning, this is going to be used so they can assess the severity. And if it's a real, I mean, if someone, you know, it's a swatting situation, if, you know, someone calls a SWAT team in and there's no real, you know, crime or going on or anything. So they want to make sure that there's a legitimate 911 call. So they send the drone first. But that's got to be already people are complaining about the time it takes for 911 to respond in a lot of these cities. That's going to introduce a whole another level of delay.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, sending a drone, Ray, what could go wrong?
Okay? What could go wrong?
So you're going to have drones. Now listen, the police using drones in certain circumstances actually sounds like a great idea. Okay, it would save a lot of time to send a drone. You could follow a suspect if he's fleeing a convenience
store. They're already doing that.
Yeah. So some of that, but flying drones around the city to, there's a call. I think there's a fight going on next door, maybe a domestic violence thing going on. What's the drone going to do, Ray? Just going to zip up to the window and peek inside?
Nothing
and,
weird about that.
And see if anyone's fighting. The potential abuse of technology really is. I think you mentioned, sounds like George Orwell's 1984.
Right.
We're getting pretty
right.
close to the government having that kind of power.
Oh, look, this thing is already happening. We're going to see drone usage multiply. Look, aren't they already talking? No, this is not about the police, but aren't they already talking about Amazon deliveries by drone,
yes.
right?
Right.
And certain restaurants, certain, you know, places where they're going to deliver the food to you by drone. So you hardly know what to say about a story like this because this is just the world we're living in, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
Steve, are you shocked by this story?
Oh, well, no. I'm thinking that I'm sitting on my porch. I'm really hungry, and I see a Pizza Hut drone go by. I don't know.
Going to hack it. Going to have to hack it.
I might
Shoot it down so you can get the pizza.
I just say, no, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, they need to do something. There's another story that was out this morning, and it was kind of making headlines, although the news value of it is a little late. This was talking about a survey that Boston Mayor Michelle Wu took in 2021 before she took the office, when she was just campaigning for it. But they asked her about some criminal reforms that one of the Massachusetts DAs was considering, and it was decriminalizing a whole bunch of stuff. Listen to this. This is what, now they haven't done it, but this is what Boston Mayor Michelle Wu says she would be in favor of. Decriminalizing, a dozen charges should be declined, okay, not decriminalized technically, but they won't prosecute.
They won't prosecute.
They're not going to be, they wouldn't, under this regime, be prosecuting shoplifting, larceny, disorderly conduct, receiving stolen property, driving with a suspended license, breaking and entering with property damage, wanton and malicious destruction of property, threats, minor in possession of alcohol, marijuana possession, possession with intent to distribute, non-marijuana drug possession. All of that, the handcuffs are off, so to speak, not to, you know, be too cute about it, but
these are her political views.
These are her political
views.
She's
the mayor of Boston. Listen, I have not lived in Boston since 1978 when I left Boston College. I have lived in Mississippi, basically with the exception of 1 year, since 1985. My wife is from Mississippi. And I'm just going to tell you, I am glad we raised our kids down here in the South, because that's crazy land up there, Ray. This mayor also said she was in favor of shuttering. This is she was asked, do you support shuttering the Boston Police gang database? And she said, yes. This is a crazy person.
This is a crazy person. This is crazy talk. This is like, okay, things aren't bad enough, so let's go out to San Francisco and see what they did, and let's try to do that here in Boston.
Magnify it.
Yeah. And magnify it, right?
Wu said that she would be in favor, this is again from a 2021 survey, she would be in favor of demilitarizing the police, which means, she said, police should not have the ability to use tear gas, rubber bullets, or attack dogs.
Okay, now that probably sounds good to Mayor Wu, while the people of Boston are behaving themselves. But if there are riots in Boston, what does she expect the police to use? Harsh language?
Don't do that. Wasn't it Boston where the mayor said that during the Floyd riots that we have to give them room to destroy things?
No, I don't think that was the Boston mayor. I think that was, I forget who that was. Maybe
Baltimore. Yeah, Thank you, Brent. Yeah, it was Baltimore.
Listen, she's obviously a quote-unquote progressive, Ray. They just don't see the world, the real world, the way the rest of us do. Because what we found out in places like San Francisco is when you tell criminals you're not going to prosecute them, in San Francisco they said for crimes of, under $900 in value, guess what they do? They steal $850 worth of stuff.
Right.
And your CVS gets shut down.
Look, this is like a textbook case, how to destroy a great American city.
Right.
You know, defund the police, defang the police, take away their weapons. And I mean, I don't mean just the guns, but take away everything that they have traditionally used to deal with criminals. This is what you get. You get chaos and a city out of control. Hard to believe that the people of Boston, I mean, Ed, there's a lot of good people in Boston. It's hard to believe the good people of Boston really agree with this.
Well, and to Steve's point, she has not been able to push for that.
No.
But the fact that they elect a mayor who has those kind of ideas and ideals is pretty striking.
It was in 2015. It was Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake, and it was when they were protesting and doing this stuff. It was around Freddie Gray at the time.
Yeah.
And so there were some riots in Baltimore, and Michelle Wu I'm sorry, Stephanie Rawlings Blake called the police off and said, quote, "We also need to give those who wish to destroy space to do that as well."
And guess what they did?
Destroyed.
They destroyed.
They destroyed.
This is again, I go back to the worldview that excludes the reality of God and the reality of our depraved nature and the necessity of salvation and repentance, faith, all those kind of things. You shove all that to the side and you think people are basically good. And if you give them a little bit of room to get their frustrations out, they won't break into the nearest Best Buy and steal big screen TVs. Okay, but that's exactly what they did. So I guess
you gotta eat.
That's so. Right. As Tim always says, you get the government you deserve. And it's hard to have sympathy when people elect these kinds of nutcases. And I'm sorry, the mayor of Boston, if she actually believes those things, she's a nutcase.
Yep.
And she will bring untold misery on the people of Boston if she's allowed to put those kinds of ideas into practice.
All right.
What else you got?
Hey, Ray, I got a question for you. When you go, I don't know if you still go to the movies, like the theater movies, because everything's streaming these days.
Right,
when
right.
you go to the movies, are you going so that you can get an accurate view of the world as it is now?
A no. That'd be like the last place I'd go to get an accurate view of the world.
Well, in fact, you didn't ask me, but I'll give you an answer. I go to get away from the world as it is. So tell me, why do you ask such a question?
Well, I asked because there's a couple researchers who decided they took a look at Hollywood movies, 250 of them put out between 2013 and 2022, and they found out that these movies are not accurately showing the danger of climate change.
Oh no,
they're not. They do not. They're not reflective of the current climate crisis. They want they have set up a new bar that movies need to make called the Climate Reality Check, where they have to have at least one scene where climate change is expressed and one character who buys into the climate change hysteria. But this is what caught my ear. Most movies fell short. Fewer than 10% of the 250 films passed. And climate change was mentioned in two or more scenes, but fewer than 4% of the time. This, they say, is out of touch with movie-going public that wants to see their reality reflected on screen.
What?
I'm not saying that,
Who did they survey?
I don't know. I don't think they did. I'm just saying.
So part of what you're saying is, in general, these people who did this study believe that people go to the movies to see their own lives reflected.
Right, and they want to make sure that we're scared about climate change.
You know, first of all, Ray, I don't go to and it's been a while since I've been to the theater. I don't go to see my life. I'm going there to see somebody else's life.
I know all I want to know about my own life.
Yes, that's right. those are scientists who also aren't living in the real world. If they think that most people, I don't think want to see climate change preaching.
Anyway,
in a movie. I think that works against their cause. I think people are less sympathetic to the climate change worldview when they're constantly having it shoved in their face. So, I don't know. I go to the movies to get as much popcorn as I can eat.
There you go.
So that's why I go. So, all right, folks, that's all the time we have for the show today. Thank you for joining us. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Lord willing, we will see you tomorrow right back here. Please join us.